Dearly beloved in Christ, as you know, today is the feast of Saint Philomena, a saint who is truly powerful with God, to be sure. But before I relate a short story about another great saint who had a strong devotion to Saint Philomena, we must see how we too are to become great saints and how we too can be a powerful intercessor between God and man. It is, of course, by striving with all our might for Christian perfection. Christian perfection seems to entail a lot, but as with all things complicated, there is a way to boil it down or summarize it so that we can more easily comprehend what the term perfection means and how we are to attain it. Perfection for the human race consists in the attainment to the end for which it was created, and that is, perfection for us consists in the attainment of the beatific vision. When we see God in the beatific vision, we will have reached perfection. God is the end for which we were created, the infinite good. But striving for Christian perfection implies that we are following in the footsteps of Christ to attain virtue and to grow in as much grace as we can. Christ did all things well, the scriptures tell us. So if we do all things to the best of our ability for the love of God, then we are well along the road of Christian perfection. Now we ourselves have the ability to become relatively perfect. This simply means that while we all have the common end of getting to heaven, we will all have to strive according to the graces and inspirations that God has given to us as individuals. Obviously, we cannot become perfectly, absolutely perfect. Only God is absolutely perfect. We will always have faults, failings, and make mistakes. But God has given you a vocation by which you are to obtain heaven, and He will provide you with the means to get there. It's just up to you to cooperate with those graces. In a meditation book for religious, it says that we all have a vocation to eternal happiness, a call to heaven. We were made for heaven and to give due honor to God. He writes, God first invited you to share in the happiness of heaven when He promoted the human race through our first parents, Adam and Eve, to the supernatural order. And a little further on, He says, to be saved, it is not sufficient merely to enter the church by baptism. You must live therein a truly Christian life, keeping stainless the white robe of love for God with which your soul was clothed at baptism. And wearing it when you appear before God's tribunal of judgment after death. To ensure this, you must watch and pray so as to avoid the least stain of sin. Otherwise, you risk losing eternal happiness and you draw nearer to the precipice that is eternal damnation and misery. We see in a positive light what we must do to get to heaven, but there is another way of approaching and understanding of what we must do to obtain perfection in heaven, and that is the negative way, or what we must avoid in order to stay out of hell. With this particular topic of Christian perfection, we can look to what Saint John the Baptist said concerning the world. Quote, "For all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life." 1 John 2:16. Concupiscence of the flesh means the inordinate love of sensual pleasure. Concupiscence of the eyes means all unwholesome curiosity and inordinate love of the goods of the world. And when he says that pride of life is one of our spiritual enemies, St. John is indicating that man often tries to make himself a god by excessive self-love. So essentially, all that is in the world is sensuality, avarice, and excessive pride. These are the greatest enemies to perfection. Now God, in His wisdom, allows us to experience lawful pleasures as a means to an end. For example, we must eat to survive, but we enjoy eating good food. It becomes sinful if carried to excess. For example, drunkenness or overeating to the point of harming our health. The moderate enjoyment of lawful pleasure is no evil thing. And in fact, if one never partakes in a little legitimate relaxation or recreation, He is a bow that is constantly bent and will eventually snap. But getting back to what St. John said of the world, all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh. And the concupiscence of the eyes and the pride of life. So we covered the concupiscence of the flesh and what that means and concupiscence of the eyes. Again, concupiscence of the eyes means two things. Firstly, unwholesome curiosity, and secondly, the inordinate love of the things of the world. Tanqueray says in his book on the spiritual life that unwholesome curiosity means the excessive desire to know what goes on in the world, not in order to derive any spiritual benefit, but to indulge our craving for frivolous knowledge. If only he could have seen our world of excessive social media consumption today. And pride of life, as we said, essentially means that man in his depravity seeks to glorify himself as God. This is excessive self-love. Now there is a proper love of self, which is being focused on proper care of both body and soul in order to do God's will in this life and to be with him forever in heaven. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. But excessive self-love is pride of life, self-worship. Egotistical men are guilty of this fault, as they do everything for themselves, as if they were themselves, the final end after which we must strive. The word egotism comes from the Latin word ego, which means I. So now we have seen in a sort of nutshell what is to be avoided, but what are the remedies? For the first two great obstacles to perfection, which are concupiscence of the flesh and concupiscence of the eyes, we must practice mortification of the senses. And one of the greatest ways of doing this is carrying our personal crosses in life without complaint. We must deny ourselves unlawful pleasures and strictly avoid all unnecessary occasions of sin. But we must also deny ourselves from time to time even those lawful pleasures which we enjoy, so as to strengthen our wills against sin. For the pride of life, humility and self-abandonment to the will of God are the remedies. Beware of vanity, as it is a road that quickly leads to the pride of life. As followers of Christ, we are obliged to strive after Christian perfection, the end of which is attaining the beatific vision in heaven. And now that we know the obstacles to perfection a little better, we are better prepared to overcome them. But to finish, I would like to relate to you, as I said, a short story about the devotion of the Curie of Ars to St. Philomena. And this is found in one of those little pamphlets that are in the back in the vestibule. It says, "The Curie of Ars and St. Philomena. The little town of Ars, France, has become famous through the holy life and labors of St. John Vianney, its beloved curé. And he, perhaps more than any other single individual, has brought to the world's attention the power of his own favorite saint, Saint Philomena. He was wont to call upon her for every kind of favor, and made her, so to say, his miracle proxy. He used to take refuge under Saint Philomena's cloak and throw the blame on her, as someone has said, for the extraordinary miracles he himself worked. Saint Philomena solved his financial worries. She converted sinners. She solved his issues. She converted sinners. She healed malignant diseases. She worked numberless prodigies in answer to his simple prayers. Many are recorded in the biography of the saint, but the unrecorded ones alone would fill a volume. A person once approached the curé and said, 'Is it true, Monsignor le Curé, that Saint Philomena obeys you?' To which the holy priest replied, 'And why not, since every day God himself obeys me at the altar?' A perfect understanding existed between the curé and his dear little saint, so that he constantly felt the closeness of her presence. He addressed her by the most familiar and tender names, and spared no efforts to induce others to invoke her intercession in their needs of body and soul. Often he would say in his soft, penetrating voice, which drew all hearts to him, "My children, Saint Philomena has great power with God, and she has, moreover, a kind heart. Let us pray to her with confidence. Her virginity and generosity in embracing her heroic martyrdom have rendered her so agreeable to God that he will never refuse her anything that she asks for us. It is said that the cure did everything for her, and Saint Philomena did everything for him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.